What happens when you visit one of the most haunted places in America? I live an hour and a half from Galveston, Texas. I have a Catholic YouTube channel that focuses almost exclusively on purgatory. This is a story that I wanted to dive into, and here are some of the questions that I had going in. Is it really haunted? What is going on there? What does the church say about these types of situations? What can the purgatory mystics that we have learned so much from teach us about these types of situations? And what are we as faithful Catholics to do? This and more in today's video. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into this. First, a little bit of background. Now, this is by no means a complete historical account of everything that happened, just a brief summary. First of all, they were warned. Cuba warned them of the storm that was coming, and one of the chief engineers was also warned. But because of the layout of Galveston, he completely ignored these warnings. He decided not to build a seawall. Just as a point of reference, some years after the 1900 storm, Galveston got hit with a similar storm. They had already built part of the wall, and only 8 people died. So what happened? In 1900, on September 8th, Galveston got hit by a Category 4 hurricane with winds upwards of 145 miles an hour, totaling about $1.5 billion worth of damage. And this storm killed upwards of 12,000 people in Galveston, around 5,000 in Louisiana. Everyone was completely unprepared. Ever since then, ghost stories have surged throughout the island, and Galveston has since become one of the most haunted places in the United States. These are some of the most famous stories. There's a woman known in the Hutching and Seeley building. By the use of a simple rope, she rescued over 50 people. She expended so much energy that when the waters receded, she died from exhaustion and infection. It is said that her ghost is now seen walking back and forth in the third floor attic space. The Sisters of St. Mary's of the Incarnate Word daisy chained children together with rope, thinking that this was the best way for them to save them. As the waters came in, being that September 8th is one of the feast days, the birthday of the Blessed Mother, they sang a song in honor of the Blessed Mother, asking for her protection. Alas, all their efforts were not to be successful. The weight of their habits and the weight of the children actually led them all to drown, and their bodies were scattered throughout the area, almost into Texas City, about 20 minutes away. It is said that a majority of them were found where there is a Walmart currently present, and it is said that this is one of the most haunted Walmarts, that people will see things flying off the shelves, or they'll hear the sound of children running around. Nearly every single historical building there on the Strand, as well as some of the older mansions in the city of Galveston, have their reported ghosts. Sometimes it's a sound of children, sometimes it's objects moving here and there, sometimes it's just sightings of them walking up and down on one of the floors. This will be reported both by the locals as well as people that come in and visit just for a short time. And it seems that it's not just people that died in this 1900 storm. A person also reported someone that looked like a modern person, possibly someone who had been a drug addict, that appeared to them and started chasing them. Similarly, it is reported on the American National Insurance Company building, the tallest building in that area, that sometime after the storm around 3 a.m., a man jumped off the top of the building committing suicide, and people will report seeing his ghost doing that every night at 3 a.m. The stories go on and on, some more dramatic, some less so. First of all, what does the church say about ghosts? What are we to think of these things? Is there really haunting there? It is safe to say that the phenomena of ghosts is so universal that we cannot deny it. We see it present in the scriptures. We see it present in every single religion. Now, what is tragic here is that the church does not have an official stance on ghosts. If you look up what the church teaches, there's not a specific teaching. Despite there not being an official teaching, saints, mystics, and the tradition has something to say. listen to what St. Thomas Aquinas has to say on the subject. St. Thomas Aquinas disagreed with Augustine on the question of ghosts, concluding in the supplement to the third part of the Summa that it is absurd to say that the souls of the departed do not leave their abode, claiming Augustine was speaking according to the common course of nature in denying the possibility of ghosts. Aquinas asserted that according to the disposition of divine providence, separated souls sometimes come forth from their abode and appear to men. It is also credible that this may occur sometimes to the damned, and that for man's instruction and intimidation, they be permitted to appear to the living. Further, he said, souls are able to appear wondrously to the living when they will. Not only did Aquinas believe in the possibility of ghosts, but he seems to have encountered them himself. On two recorded occasions, deceased souls visited the angelic doctor, Brother Romanus, who Aquinas did not realize he had died yet, and Aquinas's deceased sister. So in case for you that are skeptics, one of the head doctors of the church says it is true. Here's my observation. When we were given a historical tour of Galveston, I saw everywhere things having to do with the paranormal, things having to do with the New Age movement. This is what happens when Catholics and the Catholic Church do nothing about these types of things. The Catholic Church and Catholics should be the ones that are most familiar with the spiritual world, not just with the tradition of the church, not just with ancient rites and rituals, but we should know the spiritual world intimately. And it is a tragedy and a scandal to others that we are completely ignorant about these types of things. Let me bring in an analogy here that I think is very useful. My younger brother lives in San Francisco, and San Francisco, everyone knows this, has a tremendous problem with homeless people. And no one wants to make it their problem. The people that are the working poor will say, well, we don't have enough money. We can't help them. The middle class will say, well, we're too busy with our bills. The upper class and the rich say, well, we're too sophisticated to deal with these types of people. The government just takes all the money and spend it on who knows what instead of having real solutions. And I'm not really sure what the church is doing about it there. Perhaps they say that this is not their expertise, that it belongs to someone else. So basically, everyone wipes their hands of the homeless. Why? Because they are difficult to deal with. They are a severe problem and it takes a lot of work to help them. The souls in purgatory, which are what ghosts are the homeless of the spiritual world. No one wants to deal with them. Lay people say, oh, we don't have authority. It's the priest's problem. And priests say, well, I'm too busy. Give it to the exorcist. And then the exorcists say, no, well, I'm not experienced enough. I'm busy with this. Give it to Father Ripinger. And Father Ripinger says, well, he's too busy. And then they pass it on to the bishop that, no, I deal with administrative things. And then they pass it on to the Pope that says, no, that's not my problem. Everyone, it's not anyone's problem. They pass it on from one to another with supposedly valid excuses. So you have a situation in Galveston where there is this empty space and there is this problem of people that are in purgatory that are appearing to others. No one is doing anything about it. So the New Age movement comes in and they do seances and witchcraft and all these types of things that try to figure out what's going on. But they do it only out of curiosity, not with the intention to help. In regards to Galveston, some time ago, I was able to do an interview that I never posted with a local author with a Christian background. She had had many encounters with ghosts that had appeared to her when she lived in Galveston. Once she was taken care of, I believe it was the Moody Mansion, and she said that ghosts would regularly appear to her. Since Protestants have no framework to understand how to interpret this, this is what she would say. She said that they were all demons. So she would say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave, which is not necessarily a bad thing to do, but she did not have the knowledge to go deeper and to really be able to help these people. So is there hauntings really happening there in Galveston? Yes. Here's my opinion on these types of things. If I were to say that there was hauntings happening in my house, how long would that last? maybe a year, not much more than that. There is no way that people go year after year to go on these ghost tours and these other types of things if there's absolutely nothing going on. You can't fake something for that long. Galveston, for a long time, has had the reputation of hauntings. Now, are these hauntings demonic or are they real souls in purgatory? It's difficult to answer this question, and this is where you really need to bring in someone like Eugenie von der Leyen with her book, My Conversation with the Poor Souls. That book, I believe, is the best answer to what ghosts are, what it's like to deal with them, and what are we to do as Catholics. I did a series of videos on this. I won't repeat much of that, but I will put some links to them in the description. Let me first bring a metaphor. If someone has an addiction to drugs, and they come to confession and sincerely confess this addiction, and they sincerely ask for healing and repentance, they will be forgiven. But the effects of the addiction and the addiction itself will still remain in them, and they have to do the difficult work of getting rid of it. This is exactly the same with the souls in purgatory. Just because they die in the grace of God does not mean that all that evil that they committed during their life leaves them. It's not magic. And that's what she experienced when she would encounter different souls in purgatory. She would see in them the sin that was still encrusted onto them, the effects of that evil. One of the most poignant examples is this man that appeared to her as a monkey covered with maggots. It was absolutely disgusting, and that represented the types of sin that he was committing during his life. The more that she prayed for him, the more he started looking more and more human, to where he was eventually able to enter heaven. Anyone who would be ignorant would first say, hey, that's a demon. It wasn't a demon. It sure looked like one. And some of the other souls in purgatory will behave like demons. They'll be erratic and running around. They display lots of anger. They would harass her. Behavior that we would attribute to demons. They, in fact, were not. These were people, for instance, that sinned through anger, through impatience. These were their personalities that they had during their life that were not yet purified. The more you read that book, the more you come to understand that she had an almost scientific understanding. When she would encounter these ghosts, she'd be able to understand from their behavior the types of sins that they had and the best ways to atone for them, to deliver them from purgatory. And that was never easy. So what's the invitation with a situation like what we have here in Galveston or wherever it is that you live where there are hauntings? As Catholics, first of all, we should not be afraid. Second of all, we should go there and deal with the problem no matter what it is. Because whether it's demonic or it's a soul in purgatory, prayer and penance and holy water and blessed salt has power to bring deliverance there. Either if it's a demon or if it's a soul in purgatory that seems like it's a demon. We cannot keep putting off the homeless of the spiritual world onto someone else. It needs to be our problem that we deal with. Imagine these souls from that 1900 storm that 125 years later, they are still there asking for help in whatever way that they ask, by knocking on things, turning things on, turning things off, doing this, doing that, doing these little signs as if to say, somebody, listen to me, please help me, have a mass offered for me. And what do? We have those that don't believe, those that just stare at them through curiosity, and those that dismiss them as possessed. Isn't that what we do with the homeless? We do the exact same thing. What comes to mind is the story of the Good Samaritan and the incredible message behind it that Jesus leaves us with the question that he asked, who was neighbor to the man that had been robbed? And the person responded, the one that treated him with mercy. All of the people that passed him had valid reasons not to help him. In the same way, all of us have valid reasons not to help these souls in purgatory. especially the more frightening ones. Jesus invites us to have mercy on them, to approach them with courage and with prudence, and to deliver them from purgatory. It wasn't convenient for Jesus to die on the cross for you. It's not going to be convenient for you to help the souls in purgatory. Whose responsibility is it to deal with the souls from the 1900 storm? Ours.